In response to the preaching, let us sing from Psalter number 420, stanza 5. Psalter number 420, stanza 5. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how do you put your Christian generosity into practice? How do you put your Christian generosity into practice? I'm sure that you're getting the drift already from the passage that we have read and from the text verses that I've chosen to speak on what we will be dealing with this morning. And yes, you are correct. You will hear something about tithing this hour. And with tithing, I mean, and I'm not going to put any sort of numbers to it whatsoever, but with tithing, we mean here that which is paid for the Lord and His service and the church. And that is not only in financial aspects, but also in other aspects, as we hope to hear shortly. So without any further ado, Christian generosity and its blessings. And I first want to speak to you about the principle, because that is the most important. And we have to base everything on what the Bible teaches. So principle, first of all. Secondly, the practice. And then thirdly, the provision. So first, then, let's consider the principle of Christian generosity. Now, the Word of God is very, very helpful here, because it lays down a principle here in our text that is actually hard to ignore. We can't possibly read over it and that it doesn't fizz on us. It speaks to us right then and there. It is a principle that is very, very important for living the Christian life as it pleases the Lord. And the principle is this. And let's look at it, because it's right here in our text, particularly verse 6. Where Paul says, "But this I say," and here's the principle, "he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Well, that's the principle. Now, farmers and gardeners, they will tell you, and a good number of us have no doubt that great experience, that if you skimp on the seed that you're about to sow and you skimp on sowing, if you use second-rate seed, you cannot expect a good harvest. On the other hand, if you sow generously and you use number one seed, and that, of course, with the Lord's blessing, you will then also reap a good harvest. You may expect a good harvest. And this is the principle, dear people, that God has set Himself. This is a principle that holds good for all branches in Christian living. All branches. This principle, you see, was already in place, in fact, in the Old Testament times. When you read, for instance, in Proverbs chapter 11, the verses 24 and 25, the following, let me quote it for you. "There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." Now again, here is then a principle very similar to what we have read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But here is again this principle that God lays out for us for proper and holy Christian living. It is a principle that holds true for all of Christian life. Because after all, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully, to put it in short words. Now, let me give you a number of examples, and I'm going to look at some examples, not in the first place dealing with money, but some other examples that also rely on this principle. It has to do, first of all, with your use of the Bible. Your use of the Bible. If the Bible is not handled much by you, if you don't take much time to read it or study it, you cannot expect very much of the Bible, can you? You cannot expect that the Bible will then guide you and help you and be a light for you. We are told, for instance, in Psalm 119 and verse 105, that your word, God's word, is a light, is a lamp to my feet and a light upon my path. But if you don't have that light in your hand, how can it be a light upon your path, you see? Similarly, if you take time to sow the word early in the lives of your children, if you don't speak much to them about the Lord and about His word and about His ways, while your children are still very young, while they are still very impressionable, you cannot really expect that they will grow up in this word if you don't sow the word in your children, you see. You cannot expect them then that when they grow up to say much or to know much of the Lord's word and of the Lord's ways. Or, here's another example, if your church going is very irregular and you miss many of the services, you miss many of the opportunities to hear the word of God, you cannot expect that church going is going to be very exciting for you, or is going to be very instructive for you, or is going to be very upbuilding for you. You have sowed sparingly. And as the principle goes, you will reap sparingly. On the other hand, if the word of God is faithfully consulted by you, read by you, studied by you, discussed by you, prayed about by you, especially prayer for light and for guidance, if you've learned to handle it rightly and obediently, and you've learned to respect its authority, if you've learned to distill precious truths from it also for your little children, if you've made every effort to be as often under the word and under the preaching of the word, then you may also expect that this word of God will do things for you. The word of God, you see, will then be a guide for you. It will be a counselor and it will be a light for you. Church going then will have its anticipations. It will have its expectations for you. And the preaching of the word will then be something that you will gladly listen to and pay attention to and respond to in the proper way, you see. Because through the preaching of the word, you will discover mysteries that God has given to us in His word, which can only be understood through the Spirit of God, you see. And if you are in that line of the principle that we have read, then you have sowed bountifully, and you will reap bountifully. Now, this should not be strange to any of us, because the world even has that saying, and that is that you get out of it what you put into it. You get out of it what you put into it. Well, this is very similar, really, to the principle that we have here in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Except for this great difference, and that is, what you get out of it is not so much because you and I have put effort into it, but because God was pleased to have and to bless your efforts. You sow sparingly, then God will also often hold back the blessings, and you will reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, and God is pleased to bless such bountiful sowing so that you may also reap bountifully. That's the principle that God holds in His Word. And this is a principle, dear people, and yes, then you may also hold the Lord God to the principle that He has laid in His Word. And you can, as it were, go back to the Lord God in your prayers and say, Lord, I have done my best to sow bountifully. Would you be pleased to bless us bountifully as well? We can hold the Lord, you see, to this principle that is laid in His Word. Now, let me just expand on that a little bit further yet before I get into this whole matter of tithing. In Galatians chapter 6, the verses 7 and 8, we read the following. Now, let me quote that for you. Galatians 6, the verses 7 and 8. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Now that is all in the negative sense, isn't it? Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. In other words, if you sow argument and strife and discontent and unhappiness, what will you reap? You will reap argument and strife and discontent and unhappiness. It follows, you see. Job of old, he already made this statement, and no doubt he saw much of this already in his days. And he says, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Ah, there's the principle again. And dear people, this principle has its outworking in our families as well. Unfaithful church-going parents often have unfaithful church-going children, or worse. Unhappy or unloving parents often have children who cannot find happiness in this life at all and cannot show love to others. Discontent parents often raise discontent children. Now, it hurts to say this and to hear this perhaps, but I say this with much caution and with much love for your and my well-being, for the well-being of our families and for the well-being of our children, dear people. Parents, you and I, we need to be very careful in terms of what we sow. Very careful. Because we are living in a very dark and threatening world, a very evil world today particularly. And therefore, we are to sow bountifully those things that are good and right, particularly as it pertains to the Word of God and the instructions that the Word of God gives us. We are to use number one seed, so to speak, that is the Word of God itself. And then with much prayer that we may ask for the rains from heaven and from the sunshine that will shine upon what we will sow. The showers of God's blessings and the warmth of growth. We are to sow bountifully and you will reap bountifully. Now, congregation, why does the Apostle Paul lay down this principle in such strong words here in our text passage? Well, he is using this principle, you see, as a stimulation for the church of the Corinthians to offer generously. And now we get into this a little bit more, in more detail. And so, let us consider. He is using, in fact, two whole chapters. Not only chapter 9, but also chapter 8 already. He is using two whole chapters, in fact, to explain to those in Corinth and to the church people particularly, and to the church people today, how important it is to give generously in the service of the Lord. Now let me give you just a little bit of background history. A year or so back, the Apostle Paul had been in the church of Corinth, and he had found the Christians there to be very, very willing to offer generously. As such, Paul could take this generous offering back to Jerusalem and distribute amongst the poor who lived there in Jerusalem. After that, Paul had left again, gone on his missionary journeys, and he has gone into Macedonia. That's a Greek province beyond Corinth. And what did he do there? One of the first things that he did there in those churches beyond Corinth, he began to boast about how the Corinthian church was so generous in their gifts and in their giving. And he boasted to the churches there, particularly the churches of Philippi, the church of the Thessalonians, and the churches in Berea. And these churches, by the way, were rather poor. But he boasted to those churches about how Corinth was so generous in their gifts. They were such generous Christians. Well, that stimulated particularly those three churches in Macedonia to begin giving generously as well, although they were rather poor. But what happened? Well, meanwhile, Paul heard word back from Corinth that the Corinthians had slackened off in their offerings. And so the Apostle Paul writes back to the church of Corinth, and we have it here in our text chapter, "People of Corinth, what are you doing? I've been boasting about your generosity to one and all, and now I've heard that you've slackened off. You're putting my boasting to shame. And therefore, dear people of Corinth, I exhort you, get to it so bountifully and as you have done in the past, and you will reap bountifully." Well, that's the history behind our passage here. Now, let me make a very considered application to this already. You and I, we must never become slack in our generosity. As you know, the denominational quotas have to be paid, and most of them go by so much per member. And a great amount has to be collected, particularly for the mission endeavors that we have in our denomination, mission in Guatemala, mission in Africa, mission in Colombia, mission in Ecuador, mission in Israel as well. And these missions require some funds, don't they? Then there's the necessity of upkeeping of our students. And yes, we have a number of vacancies, and these vacancies need to be filled, but they can be filled through the students whom the Lord has raised up, but they need to be maintained in their studies. Besides, the professors need to be maintained who teach them, and the seminary where they are going. That requires financial support on our side as well, dear people. Please do not let our treasurer and our bill payer down. Or let me say it this way, please don't let the Lord down in this. Let me therefore urge you, as the Apostle Paul also does to the church of Corinth, that you consider seriously what it means to maintain the practice of generosity. Consider the responsibilities that you and I have towards the Lord and towards His service, and therefore adopt a spirit of tithing, of offering, and of sacrificing. Adopt that spirit if you haven't as yet. In turn, then wait and see as well what the Lord will do for you. And again, here's the principle that is to be found here in the Word of God. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. If you have the means, sow bountifully. Be generous in your tithing and in your offerings. Or as the Apostle Paul would say it elsewhere, abound in the riches of your liberality. Why? Well, because the Lord promises that he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So much for the principle. Let's go on to the next part, as it pertains to our practice. How can we sow bountifully so that we may reap bountifully? Well, we are told this in verse 7. And let's read it together. Verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now the first part is important already. As he purposes in his heart. Now the Apostle Paul, and here's a little bit of background again. The Apostle Paul was a very practical man. Yes, he was a very spiritual man, but at the same time, his spirituality worked out in his practice of life. In fact, his spirituality increased his practicality. And it is because he was thoroughly spiritual that Paul could also be properly practical, you see. His religion and his practice worked together. They fit hand in glove, you see. The sincerity of his Christianity showed up in many ways, to be sure, but also in how he handled practical matters. Paul could give the deepest and the most profound lessons on the mysteries of faith, but at the same time, he could give the most enlightened advice on practical matters. And in that way, he made practical matters, spiritual matters. You see what I'm trying to do here? I'm trying to bring the practical and the spiritual together. It is properly spiritual to be practical in every way. That's the heart and measure of Christianity. Well then, what sort of practical advice does the Apostle Paul give, which becomes a spiritual matter at the same time? The advice, as he says in verse 7, you know your duty. You must sow bountifully. You must give generously. But before you begin to do any sort of giving or consider it, consult with your heart. Let your heart be involved in this. Let that spiritual organ that's deep inside of you, which is so closely, that is if you're born again, which is so closely in tune with the Lord our God and with the will of God, which it should be, you see. Let your heart be consulted. Speak to your heart about this. In other words, what does your heart say what you should give? And then purpose in your heart. Make a commitment in your heart, in other words, what you should give for the Lord and for his service. That is, lay out a plan in your heart which is agreeable and which is pleasing to him who lives in your heart, namely the Holy Spirit. And then with his help and with his stirrings, put that plan into practice. So let each give as he purposes in his heart. And so the question comes to us, you and me as well. Have you made such a purpose? Have you made such a commitment? Have you made such a plan in your heart? Are the needs of the church of which you and I are members, are the needs of this congregation, also the practical and the financial needs of this congregation, are they close to your heart? They should be, if you are a genuine Christian. Now, let me give you some practical advice then, based on the Word of God that we have here, and which has worked over the years, down through the ages of the church. And it is this: it is good practice to have a definite plan in place how to tithe, how to offer regularly. If you are married, you must discuss that together, husband and wife. You need to plan this out carefully. You need to do this prayerfully. You need to do it with your hearts involved. And then you are to tithe according to your plan. You are to be regular. You are to be committed to it. You are to make this a spiritual matter. Make it a matter which touches your relationship with God. Now, young people, boys and girls, especially you who have a job and who have are taking regular wages, take part in carrying the financial burden of this congregation and this denomination. Let's carry the load together. Put aside each week a certain amount and then call it your offering to the Lord. Consider this to be a spiritual exercise. Combine it with prayer, asking the Lord that He would bless your offerings. And then count as well then on the promise that God gives in His Word. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Now let me also give you a word of caution, especially for our young people, our youth. Do not sow your hard-earned money out into this world. Be very, very careful, because this world gobbles it up. It gobbles it up. And you get nothing or very little in return for it. And therefore, be very wise in this respect. Be very wise. Be spiritually practical. If you want to be sincere in your Christian walk, purpose in your heart to give. Parents, teach your children to start tithing early. Don't let that collection bag go past them during the service. Give them, even if it's only a nickel or a dime, but give them that money in their hand so that they too can put it in the bag, so that they can get used to what it means to tithe and to tithe regularly. No, God does not want the church to become rich through your gifts. But God wants us, you and me, to become rich through giving, especially spiritually rich. The Lord Jesus, you see, He was far more excited about that tiny little gift that this poor widow woman gave and put in the money box than all the riches that these scribes and Pharisees and these big fellows put in the box in a very obvious way. The Lord was far more pleased with that little bit than with all that money. The Lord wants us to offer, you see. He wants us to sacrifice, which means that at times it could possibly hurt. Touchy business, isn't it? I know. But I believe that I may not ignore this part of the Word of God. It's not something that we preach on every Sunday, do we? But we may not ignore the Word of God as it comes to us from this particular passage. And as I've indicated, there's other passages as well that speak about this. But we are called to declare the whole counsel of God. And so how does this part of the Word of God function in your life? Does it play a role as you think about the upkeep of the church and of the running of this congregation? As you think about the mission work and the work of evangelism, the work of Christian education for your children, is there any purpose, dear people, in your heart? And is there a definite giving flowing forth from your heart in these respects? Because this is all part of being a genuine Christian. We, you and I, we are called to be bountiful Christians. And then the Apostle Paul adds this to it yet. How are we to give? Well, he says, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, again, it is the heart, you see. It is a spiritual matter, after all. Because if the heart has been involved in it, you will not give grudgingly. You will not mutter, why is the church asking for money all the time? You won't mutter those kind of things. And so, dear people, when the heart is involved in such things, you won't engage in negative thoughts about it. No, you should not be forced to give. And no one may force you to give. Because if you opt to sow sparingly, well, you will reap sparingly. If you decide to give nothing, the church won't go bankrupt. But your own spiritual life might one day have to declare bankruptcy, spiritual bankruptcy. And therefore, if you do give, don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it because you're forced to do so. But make it a matter of the heart. Do it cheerfully. Because, so our text says, God loves a cheerful giver. Now, it's very interesting, this word cheerful. When I go back to the original Greek, it is a word that you and I understand. And it's the word hilarious. In other words, I could interpret this text, God loves a hilarious giver. I think all of you know what that means. This is exceptionally cheerful. That is how we are to give. Our congregation is the word of God, not practical. We see this here, don't we? It tells us not only that we must give, but also how we must give. It wants to teach us by word and by spirit what it means to live a bountiful Christian life, and that in the right way. And so what kind of Christianity do you and I live? Christianity that knows something about the Bible in a vague way, but cannot really translate it in anything that is practical. That's head knowledge without any heart knowledge. And that won't go far. Dear people, God wants a right biblical Christianity for you and for me, for each one of us. He has therefore given us a principle, we've talked about that, and he has also shown us the practice for it, and now in the last place, he also promises provisions for it. Honestly, I can tell you that as I pondered putting together this particular sermon, it is not easy, is it, to be a bountiful Christian? It could very well be that you have very little to be generous with. You don't have it, so you can't give it. Now, if this is the case, may I impress upon you that it is not only in the financial giving that God shows his love towards you. There are also other ways of giving as well. Most importantly, obviously, it is the giving of your heart, isn't it? My son, God says, and you could also say, my daughter, give me your heart. And that is what God calls each one of us to do, dear people. Have you done so already, boys and girls? Have you given your heart to the Lord your God? Have you given your sinful heart? That is really what it is. Have you given your sinful heart to the Lord God and say, Lord, do with it what needs to be done. Give me your heart, so says God. Then there's also the giving of your services. Are there not things to be done right from helping the local congregation in various tasks? To becoming a Sunday school teacher, babysitter, Sunday school teacher, organ playing, piano playing. Wonderful to see more organists coming up in the ranks, and we rejoice in that. Or deacon, elder, preacher of the gospel, young men, have you considered the studies for the ministry of the word? Yes, we have a few students now, but we'll need more. Has the Lord inclined your heart in that direction? That is serving the Lord as well, you see. A missionary in our denomination. Imagine what the Lord may have in store for you yet. That too means a giving of yourself, you see. I know it's not always possible to give a great financial amount and to give financial support. But there are other ways of giving as well, isn't it? Let's be honest, and here I touch on a very sensitive matter again. It's not so much the impossibility of giving, but the unwillingness of giving, isn't it, with us? My sinful heart is unwilling to purpose, to give. My flesh, you see, it's so tied to this world. It is stuck to all those possessions that I have all around me and gather around me. I like my free time. I could give, but... And I have my excuses ready. Oh, well, yeah. The flesh is willing, or the spirit is willing, rather. But the flesh is so weak, and up we come with our excuses. Dear people, here's help. Even when the flesh is unwilling. Here's help. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. It's also part of our text. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Whatever you need in order to become a truly bountiful Christian, God can supply. He can. You need a heart which is untied from the world, which is loosened off from the flesh. God can make all grace abound towards you. He can give you a heart, you see, which is not of this world, but which is a heart that is tied to Christ and who is Christ living in it. He can give you a heart, you see, in which the flesh does not have the biggest word anymore, but in which the Spirit rules. He can make all grace abound towards you. Has he not shown that already? By giving, or I could say by offering his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Because you see, there, in Jesus Christ, is grace abounding to the chief of sinners, and John Bunyan has said it so eloquently. God is able to make grace abound towards you. Have you asked him for that already? Or are you still graceless, which means basically Christless? Then it is no wonder, really, that you cannot give yourselves, or that you cannot really feel inclined to offer for the services of the Lord, because you are still so much caught up with yourself and with the things of this world. And therefore, at this point, pray the Lord Jesus Christ that he would come into your life. Pray that you be caught by the Holy Spirit. God is able. He is able to do so. And then when giving is asked of you, you are called to sow bountifully. Then God will also see to it that you will be able to sow bountifully. God will see to it then that the offerings that you make and that has become your heart's purpose, you will also have sufficient to offer to the Lord and for His service. He will make grace abound, you see. God is able. He is able, more than able even, that you will always have sufficient means so that you, by principle and by practice and also through His provisions, you may have an abundance for every good work, as our text says. Now, I want to close this message with a short poem which someone sent me after we lost all our possessions through a house fire many, many years ago. The short poem captures the message, I believe, of God's provisions. And this is the short poem. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiply trials, His multiplied peace. Amen.